grace, they would put themselves into this bondage that they've been trying so hard to keep away from the gospel of Christ, just allowing it in. And then we also saw this act of unity between Paul and Peter and John and James and Barnabas. And we see that we talked about how the unity is it's a precious and necessary thing for us as members, as a church in general. It's good to have that fellowship and be unified where we stand doctrinally and know what we're talking about. Paul was not intimidated by the men in leadership. They were men just like him. And we saw in verse 6 there, but of these who seemed to be somewhat whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. We see that Paul really was not intimidated or concerned about the leadership because they were just men. And God puts people in the positions they are because that's where he wants them. Paul was not concerned about them, and they knew that God had called him to the Gentiles just as Peter had been called to the Jews. And now we're going into Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 21. We're going to read these verses real quick, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get right on into the message. But when Peter was come to Antioch, and I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for just allowing us again this time together, Lord, this opportunity to come before you, and Lord, just be able to preach your word. It is a privilege and is an honor, Lord, and I ask God that you'd help me to step aside tonight, that you would ultimately, Lord, be the one giving the truth and using me as the vessel, Lord, and I want to be used as you see fit, Lord, and I ask that you just do that tonight, that you'd help me to say whatever it is you want me to say, Lord, with understanding, with clarity, and Lord, I pray that you just continue to bless this, Lord. If this is something you want me to continue to do, Lord, you've expressed to me that this is, and Lord, I ask you just help me to continue to just stay in your will, Lord, that you just help me to stay faithful to you and your word, that it would just continue to flourish, and Lord, that you would just make whatever you want out of this. What the outcome is, Lord, is truly just to know more about you and understand more about you and why we are doing the things that we are doing, Lord. I just thank you for your word, and I pray that you bless these things. In your name I pray. Amen. Just gonna get a drink here real quick. So we see in verses 11 and verse 12 here, But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. We see here in verse 11 that Peter's come to Antioch, and Paul has every intention on calling Peter out. And that's what we're going to look at, is why. Why did he get called out? There's this, really, between the first half of this chapter and the second half, there's this transitional shift in Paul's writing to the Galatians. And we've gone from talking about the Judaizers, really specifically about how they've been coming into the church and infiltrating, and now we're looking at Peter and what Peter's been doing. And we see Paul stands against these forces trying to corrupt the gospel of Christ, and then we see the shift happen in an explanation in verse 12, a confrontation taking place really between Paul and Peter. In verse 11, again, we'll read that just to get it in our heads. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. There's a couple of words here that I like being able to understand the words that are being used. This word withstood, enthistemi, it means to oppose or to resist. To oppose or resist. And then we see another phrase in verse 11 that says, to be blamed, kataginosko. It took me a long time to get that down. I thought I was going to mess it up. But kataginosko, there you go, finding fault or accuse. Paul had every intention to call Peter out, to accuse him, to oppose him on something. What was it? In verse 12 here, before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. So before Peter had come to Antioch, we see that he's eating, he's fellowshipping, involved with the Gentiles on a personal level. And we see these men would have been coming from Jerusalem. James was a prominent leader in the Jerusalem church at that time, and there's a lot of speculation. That's actually something I wanted to get into a little deeper, but came from James. There's some that say, and I'm not even going to go into full depth on it, but some that say that they deceptively were coming up from Jerusalem, saying that James had sent them. I don't know for sure, so I'm going to do some more research on that and studying on that. But we see that before Peter, these men had came to Antioch, and that Peter had been eating and drinking with the Gentile people. And looking at verse 12, we get the picture of the men from Jerusalem coming, and Peter withdraws himself from the Gentile brethren. That word withdrawal means he's like just kind of separating himself. He's pushing himself away. He cowers down to these men from Jerusalem, fearing what they might think of him eating and fellowshipping with these Gentiles. For before that certain came, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. This verse boils down to us is really the hypocrisy of Peter. This devout leader pulling away from what God had revealed to him as truth and good. What did he reveal to him as truth and good? In Acts chapter 10, if you'll look with me real quick, in Acts chapter 10, we see that Peter gets this vision, and it ultimately leads to Cornelius and them, and really Cornelius getting saved. But we see here in verse 10, and he being Peter, became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, thou that call not thou uncommon." Oh, that is a tongue twister. "That call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. God is telling Peter, like, hey, these things that you've never been able to eat before, that's good. You can eat it now. You can do these things. And we see in we see this vision to Peter, and then in Acts 10:45, we see that and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we see this astonishment. These Jews are seeing these Gentiles getting saved, and the Gentiles were also able to accept this gift of salvation. And we see the Gentiles receive the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 11, verse 43 and verse 44. To him give all the prophets witness, and through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And so Paul knew better. God said it was good, not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. He feared the men in Jerusalem. And I have to think, was it over leadership? Was it because, you know, and I truly believe that it's because the law had been such a long time, part of his life, and it was ingrained in him. But that really was no excuse. The truth is, Peter knew it was wrong, and so did Paul, and that was, and hence Paul coming and calling Peter out about it. Verse 13, "And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation." Dissembled. This word dissembled or dissimulation, this is a tricky one, so don't judge me if I say it funny. Synipokrinomai. It means to act hypocritically with. These men from Jerusalem had followed the leadership of Peter. The result of Peter's actions led to the others falling away from the gospel, the true gospel. They saw this leader that they had. And we unfortunately see Barnabas carried away and involved in this and in their actions, falling away from the gospel, the truth of the gospel. We see the ultimate consequence here, and that's what this verse here is ultimately the consequence of Peter's actions. His hypocrisy led to the falling away of other men, and Paul's intents were to rebuke Peter for it. Verse 13, chapter 2. Oh, I didn't. We're back in our passage in Galatians 2. Galatians chapter 2. Okay. And then we're in verse 14 of chapter 2. Paul sees what is happening before him, and these men, including Peter, were not walking according to the gospel they preached. Verse 14, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? There's a really simple question here. Who do you think you are? What are you doing? Paul sees what's happening, and Paul begins to call Peter out publicly before them all. And Peter says, if you're a Jew, and you're doing these things that the Gentiles do, you're living as the Gentiles are, how can you expect them and compel them and make them live as the Jews? Who do you think you are? Who are you to say they have to live a certain way, and when you've been living the way they've been living and doing the things they've been doing? In verse 15 and verse 16, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I love this verse here. It's great. We who are Jews by nature, nature being birth, they were born into this culture of the law, and not sinners of the Gentiles. Paul goes on to say, we as Jews were born into this law, and Paul is saying to Peter, even us being born into the Jewish traditions, we even know that the law couldn't justify us. And as a matter of fact, if you go back to Acts chapter 15, and he said, I believe it's in, I've used it before, I think I use it in this, but in Acts chapter 15, he says, why would we put the yoke on our disciples when even our fathers couldn't follow this thing? Peter himself said that. So I don't wonder. I mean, it really is. It's concerning. It really is. So we know that Paul is okay. Excuse me. But only faith in Jesus Christ, believing in Him, justified by the perfect one, the one that could satisfy the law, and was God. The work of the law will never justify the flesh. In verse 17. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. This word we is indicating, who is the we? The same as we in verse 15, speaking of the Jews. Paul is saying, if we as the Jews are seeking Christ, doesn't that mean we are sinners too? Doesn't that mean that because the law isn't enough? So why are we trying to add to Christ? Why would the Jews need to follow Christ if they were going to keep the law themselves? Because the law has revealed to them their sins. And they know they need Christ because they have failed by the law. The Jews thought that belief in Christ just simply was not enough. They really thought that it was just too easy, I guess. But this whole idea of if it wasn't enough for us, the Jews, then it can't be enough for the Gentiles, surely. The Gentiles just can't believe in Christ and be done with it and not follow the law. But Paul says, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. It's just that simple belief in Christ that brings salvation. It doesn't make Christ a promoter of sin, because the law is not necessary. The law was not necessary after Christ died. He fulfilled that law. Absolutely not. God forbid. And then in verse 18, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. If I decided to live by the very thing I destroyed, the law, then Paul, or anyone for that matter, would be a transgressor, a lawbreaker of the law. Why would we, he said, why would we rebuild the things that we never could keep up with in the first place? Well, what's the point in going back to that? We couldn't keep the law the first time, so we sure couldn't keep it again. Verse 19 and verse 20. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Well, that's some good stuff. Praise God, we are dead to the law and alive in Christ. God, we're not bound to trying to be good enough. And I mean, it makes me wonder what made them think that, I mean, What made them think the law was something good to live by? I mean, they were, you know, making sacrifices and you know, they had to atone for something. They couldn't do it themselves. But praise God, we are dead to it. The old sinful man is dead and the inner man is justified by the blood of Christ. Romans 6, verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're dead to it. We're dead to sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. Paul says quite literally, I am dead with Christ. Crucified in the sense being along with. I am putting the old man up. He is dead. I am crucified with him. In Romans 6, 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The beauty of this verse is we have a choice to not sin. We don't have to sin. And Brother Doug has gone over that in his study on Romans, that we don't have to sin. We get to choose to serve God. The old man is dead, and the body of sin might be destroyed. We don't have to serve it. I exist for no other purpose than to serve and glorify God. And this life that I live here in the flesh and the body is lived for the one that loved and gave himself for me. And then I call verse 21. I'll talk to Raven and Chris sometimes at work about certain things. I'll be going through my notes. And I call this Paul's mic drop. This is really the clearest verse when I read it, I was like, man, that just makes perfect sense. Paul says in verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I do not frustrate. That word frustrate meaning I do not disregard the grace, that unmerited favor for me that he gave to me, that he showed toward me, that love that he shows toward me that he doesn't have to. I do not disregard the things that he's done, because if the law made me righteous, then Christ coming here was for absolutely no reason. He says if we were to be made righteous through the law, not through Christ, then Christ would have died in vain for nothing. This is Paul's mic drop to Peter and the men from Jerusalem. There is nothing to be fulfilled from the law except misery and grief and knowledge of what the sin is that you're doing. That's what it does. That's what the law did. It revealed to us the sin. And if you can't find fulfillment in Christ and have to add to the law of Christ, then Christ still, he might have died for no reason. If he was trying to, I'll get into that in a second, we'll get ahead of myself. Verse 16, when he says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. That same chapter there in verse 16. So, looking at what has happened in these 10 verses, what is happening? Well, the complete idea of this passage is Paul rebuking a fellow brother in the faith for his act of playing the hypocrite. We understand by the scripture that these men from James from Jerusalem have come, and in verse 12 we understand that Peter is eating and drinking with the Gentiles and doing really what he's supposed to be doing, but when these Jewish men come, Peter withdraws and separates himself because he feared them of the Jews. And he didn't want to be seen hanging out and doing these things. And I thought about, man, what if I was at Brother Bill and Miss Pam's house and having dinner and see Brother Doug's headlights coming up the road, and I'm like, kids, we gotta go. We'll pack the car up, we gotta get out of here. Well, that'd just be absolutely rude. It'd be wrong, it'd just be so wrong. It's funny, but really, it would never be the same again. The relationship between us would never be the same. And Doug would be waving me by. that would just be, it'd be a mess. We know that Peter, being a leader, someone in authority as one that was called to preach the gospel to the Jews, had a testimony to uphold. He was held to that standard, but unfortunately his hypocrisy led to the hypocrisy of the other Jews with him. And even Barnabas falling away. And Paul, he's had every reason to confront Peter of this matter and correct him, because even Peter had fallen away from the truth of the gospel. And I keep coming back to this too. I think the hard truths are necessary for those that we love. When we see someone leading astray or doing something that is not in line with Scripture, when they've been talking about it at church. If you guys see me up here preaching and then see me buying alcohol and drinking it in the parking lot, you're going to say something to me. I would hope you would. I really would. I'd want to be corrected. But Paul's main message to Peter and the other Jews was quite simple and straightforward. What makes you think you, a Jew, can live as a Gentile, then expect the Gentiles to live as the Jews? What makes me think that I can live a certain way with certain people and then come back and act like that never happened? You know, it's just hypocritical. But how often do we do it? How often do we find ourselves in positions and places where we have played the hypocrite? And Paul goes on to say, you know that the works of the law justify no man, only faith in Jesus Christ, that Christ is enough for salvation. We don't need to add more or take away from what God has declared to be good. Christ is enough. We are dead to the law so that we can be made alive in Christ, since being crucified with Christ. He's taken my place, and we are made righteous in the sight of God. Because the innocent one took my place that I might live through him and he through me. And Paul wraps it up again, that might drop in verse 21, saying he doesn't disregard the grace of God. If we were to be made righteous through the law, then Christ absolutely died for nothing. It all was a lie if Christ didn't come to fulfill what needed to be fulfilled. And Peter even says in Acts chapter 15:10, that's what it was, Acts chapter 15:10, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers were able to bear? So what's the application here? It's important that we stand for the truth, whatever means necessary. We have to remember that Paul is using these past experiences. We have to understand he's still talking to the Galatians here. And Paul even went to the extremes of calling out one of his own brethren, Peter, a very prominent leader and preacher in the church there, to correct and rebuke his actions for not upholding the gospel message. We need to be willing to stand in such a way, and it needs to be done in a good spirit too, not in a contentious, you know, burn the place down, he said something wrong, but for not upholding the gospel message. I think a bigger point here is when one is led astray, many follow. I think we've seen that a little bit. When one is led astray, many will follow. The Galatian churches had already been allowing these Judaizers to pervert and misguide the churches for some time, but Paul's experience here reveals to us that it's good to nip things in the bud before it's too late. While it's much important that the spirit we have in dealing with those things are taken seriously, if Peter's hypocrisy has proved anything, it is that those that are in leadership are held to quite a standard. And when we fail to live by that standard, others that are watching and listening fail to live by that standard. I think oftentimes as parents, we have our kids looking at us all the time. Nathan says some things, and I'm like, where'd you hear that? And he's like, you know, Daddy, you did it. And he's got them big eyes like, oh, I said something wrong. I'm like, well, that's on me. I've done something terrible. It's important that we own up to those problems too, those mistakes that we make. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. I've used this the last 2 weeks now. But the Bible says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. It is important that we stand firm in the truth of God's Word, even when it's uncomfortable. Even when something we wanted, if it's not in our timing, even if it's not in our timing. The Galatian churches needed more than ever to stand against the Judaizers, to be uncomfortable and protect the gospel of Christ that Paul and many of the other leaders in the churches had been working so hard to preserve. And that's on us today. We need to preserve the gospel of Christ. And then secondly, we see we are justified by our faith in Jesus. Really just a reminder, but Christ is enough. He was always enough. We never needed any more than Christ. This is the whole idea here. I believe that the whole point being made is you don't need any more than Christ. We have all come to points in our lives where our past haunts us, our memories of hard times stick to us, our grief for our sins seems to creep from the shadows. But Christ is enough. You don't have to any more than believe and live for Him. Be obedient to Him. And that's something to praise God about. Praise God, it's not a checklist. Plus, you know, Christ. It never could be. The Galatians were getting word from the Judaizers that they needed to be circumcised in order to be saved and follow the law of Moses. But Paul says in verse 16, nobody can be justified by the works of the law. But those that have believed and put their faith in Jesus Christ have been justified by Christ. Paul tries telling these Galatians, the law does nothing but show you your sin and tell you how bad you are. But Christ shows you how good He is. And He is sufficient. He is able. He takes He takes these things that we've been fighting and praise God for His grace. Don't dwell on the things that Christ has promised He freed you from. Don't add to what God has made perfect. We are justified by our faith in Jesus, not our faith in Jesus and something else, not something plus. Don't make your life miserable trying to measure up to something that you could never do. Christ didn't come in the flesh to die for us and expect us to live by the very thing that condemned us to begin with. And that does make sense. That Christ would not have us do something that He knew we could never handle or justify. Had He died and the law made us righteous, He would have died for nothing. The blood of Christ means absolutely everything. Let's live in obedience because it has paid for it, for everything. Let's live like we know. We know that Christ has paid for the sins. His blood has atoned. Let's live like He has. Let's quit worrying about trying to do better. I'm not going to go there. For unbelievers, it's just the opposite. You can live your life. You can't live your life just being good enough. You will live an unfruitful and a miserable life, trying to live up to a standard that you never could have. But there is a promise, and the same promise that was promised to the Gentiles, that all can come to repentance and accept the gift of salvation, trusting Christ as the Savior. Because He can. And He did for me. And He did fulfill what we couldn't. We have been justified through Jesus Christ. I think it's so important. I hope that you guys have been... I encourage you, if you haven't, that if you haven't been reading this, that you would read it before our next service. And it really has been an absolute blessing to me, and it had me all up in my feelings today just reading over it and going over everything. But man, God is so good. He's been just so good to us. And I'm living proof, and everybody that I see here is, that He didn't die in vain. He justified me through His blood. And so that's a blessing. We have been justified through Jesus Christ. Let's pray real quick and then